What's going on, folks? TJ Lowerman, a.k.a. That Sports Gamer here, back with another episode of Bullpen Banter, episode 70 to be exact. We're going to be talking about the gameplay and AI deep dive that the devs did over at Sony San Diego about MLB The Show 18. And to join me, I have brought the inimitable Chris, a.k.a. Snaggle J. Chris, what's going on?
Not much. It's kind of fitting I'm here for episode 70. You know, I usually put at a minimum 70% effort into the show.
Some would say maximum.
Well, you know, that I mean, some days that's definitely true. But I'm excited. You know, I'm baseball is almost here. We're getting to that time of year. I thought this stream was really good, and we're going to talk about it, you know, at length and what we liked and maybe anything that we didn't like. And but yeah.
Yeah, lots.
I'm hype. Baseball.
Lots to cover. Lots of stuff that I feel like we kind of knew, but now we know more specifically stuff with the hitting engine and stuff. Last episode, episode 69, if you haven't watched it, you can head over to youtube.com/thatsportsgamer. It's archived there. Or if you listen to the podcasts, check your podcast thing for Bullpen Banter, or you can just go to thatsportsgamer.com and find it and subscribe there. Last episode, I did break down the trailer, and that was what they started this week's stream on, was just kind of going over the trailer and some of the stuff that was in there. Pretty sure I hit on everything that they mentioned. There was nothing really super hidden in there, I don't think. They did not mention any of the new accessories and stuff that we talked about last week. Last week, man, the trailer, what, dropped Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is your first, possibly your first ever dual Bullpen Banter episode in 1 week in the history of Bullpen Banter, I think. I could be wrong.
Well, you know what? It's well worth it because, I mean, the trailer had, as I think the trailer seems to do every year, had a lot of, you know, hidden nuggets with legends and with equipment and stuff that we know that they are not going to probably talk about on any streams, you know, leading up to release, but that, you know, they kind of leave us to our own devices and to speculate. And then right after that, you know, we have this gameplay stream, which again, I felt was a fantastic stream. Really for me, it checked a lot of boxes. 'Cause that's the thing, like, you know, if I'm not mistaken, they led off with the gameplay AI stream last year.
I believe so.
For the casual fan, it's not sexy. It's not a sexy stream. But for the hardcore users like us and like the majority of the people who watch this stream and who follow our channels, who play Diamond Dynasty on the regular, you know, this checked a lot of boxes for the hardcore MLB The Show fan. So I think, you know, it's well worthy of double Bullpen Banter episode week hype.
Question. Was there anything that you saw in the trailer that you would want to go over? I mean, I did it all last week, but I don't know if there's anything specific that you want to talk about.
No, you know what? I mean, the biggest thing for me, to be honest, I watched it through maybe twice, like maybe three times if you include watching it last night. You know, I do, obviously, I was kind of surprised that they showed off as many new legends as they did. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking what there was at least, I think, 8 that I can remember off the top of my head. So that kind of surprised me.
Was it that many? I feel like it wasn't that many, but.
Well, I mean, you had the Babe, you had Benito Santiago, there was.
Troy Percival, Lee Smith, Doc Ellis. So what's that, 5?
Pee Wee Reese, yeah. So we're getting up around, you know, around 7, 8. I'm sure there's some that we're forgetting.
Maybe it was that many.
But my thing is just, you know what? It's like in terms of the trailer, I'm actually kind of surprised they still went and put out a trailer. To be honest, I kind of speculated in other realms that maybe we weren't going to get a trailer, and maybe that was a good thing because they were spending their resource time on, you know, developing the game. Mm-hmm. But I like the trailer. It was good. Trailers don't really get me excited anymore because, you know, it's fluff, it's filler, it's media stuff. You know, I want to dive in and see what they're going to do with the game. So I watched the trailer and then I moved on and then watched the stream, the gameplay stream last night.
All right, so let's talk about said stream. The first thing they started talking about was the all new tagging engine that includes stuff like the setup tags, the running tags, and the standing free tags. Also, apologies to Tips and whoever sat in the middle chair last night. I know Gil was there, Nick was there, but they, because of the way this whole overlay works, they're not there, and it's just me and Lance apparently. So, hi Lance. We're very close right now.
There you go. I mean, it looks fantastic.
Like we're sitting next to each other almost.
Yeah.
So they've completely overhauled the tagging system, and it was rewritten by the guy that did the base running engine. I believe we talked about that a little bit last episode when Ramon talked about that a little bit with the IGN and the GameStop, GameSpot videos. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to remove all the base running exploits that showed up in head-to-head games. One thing I noticed on Twitter, a lot of people were talking about, oh, they're doing all these changes for head-to-head and competitive play and stuff. Yes, but I think that's just where you see the majority of the exploits.
Yeah.
But this is just stuff that's going to help everybody, even if you play completely, if you only play offline.
Yeah. One thing, and this is going to be a general theme, I think, for the entire, you know, review of this stream. I felt like versus the streams that they did last year, their preparedness level and their bullet points that they had going into the stream, they were prepared for what the feedback / questions / community reaction was going to be, because you did hear them address that and saying, you know, these issues are going to help in all facets of the game. The reason why you don't see, you know, tagging exploits and things like that in franchise is because the computer doesn't exploit the game.
Yeah. It's not trying to take, not running through a third baseman to go home. That's just going to be a user doing that, not the CPU doing something wonky like that.
So I definitely felt like when it came to that one particular thing, and as kind of a general theme throughout the majority of the stream, they seemed very prepared and had very key things that they wanted to talk about and address, which was, I was a huge fan of that. Yeah. I felt like they were ready and the tagging and stuff looks really cool. Again, you know, as an avid online player, it was a big deal.
It was definitely a big thing last year that caused a lot of problems.
Yeah, we all have horror stories of losing games because of a bum tag animation. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, I'm glad they fixed it. I'm excited to see how it works in like a, you know, actual game application. I like that they had some gameplay footage and comparing 17 to 18, but I'd like to see how it works on like a fast, full-paced game. Mm.
Yeah, so I took a couple screenshots here. I didn't do like video clips and stuff because I figure if you want to see the video clips, they've got the whole stream archived over on twitch.tv/Sony San Diego Studio.
Yep.
So if you want to watch it in full action, go check that out. And if you're listening to the podcast version of this, highly recommend going to youtube.com/thatsportsgamer and checking out the video so you can at least see the picture, if not watching the whole Sony San Diego stream for yourself. First up, this is one where a base runner is diving back into third base, and now you can see that the third baseman is in a much more realistic place, and he's slapping the tag onto the hand. It's not just kind of a phantom tag.
Yeah,
that kind of hopes the runner gets there. It's a lot more accurate into real life. That's actually one of the things I noticed. This whole stream made the baseball look more realistic. Everything that I feel like was a problem the last 2 years really felt like it's been resolved from this stream.
Well, and you and I have had this conversation before. You know, both of us being former baseball players in real life. Some of the things that, you know, like body positioning, things like that in the show was to a, you know, in real life baseball player, you knew they were off and things just didn't seem right. And the third baseman positioning on a throwback or things like that was always kind of weird. I was glad to see that they fixed that. I love that screenshot that you have up right now, because again, it looks like a baseball play. Mm-hmm. It looks like something that would really happen in the run of a game. It just looks really cool. It's a subtle little improvement that, again, you know, a casual fan might not notice, but you know, it's a welcome addition. It just adds to the realism of the game. And again, with the accuracy of the tags and whatnot.
Here's another shot of a runner sliding into third base. And you can see the third baseman getting out in front of the bag, laying the tag down. Actually, if you watch the video, when the foot comes in, the sliding foot comes in, you actually see it move the glove.
Yeah.
So it's a lot better there. And in the past, defenders would try to do standing tags when they should have been doing running tags. I think it's more of in the rundown situations and stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, stuff like that is these are the little things that bad animations. These were costing you bases. These were either costing you bases or costing you outs. Yeah. Last year, or actually getting you free bases, I guess, more likely than not. Yeah. Or giving your opponent a free base, which mm-hmm. could kill your game.
Yeah.
Another big thing we saw last year was where players would like run through third base, even if the third baseman just has the ball. The guy would run through the third baseman and go straight home, and your third baseman would be stupid for some apparent reason. That's supposedly not going to happen this year. They're going to back up and actually make the tag. You can see it. Here's a shot of the second baseman tagging a guy that's just running straight through and not stopping at all. So that's good. I think that was a real big annoyance last year.
Yeah,
I saw that a couple times with guys running through third base and which should have been easy outs, and you're like, oh, great, easy out. And then your third baseman like stands there, and then I think he usually just got stupid after that and couldn't even make the throw home to try to get the out. That was really, really frustrating.
Yeah, I think with the common theme with all this stuff, when it comes to the overhaul of the tagging, is it makes the game, you know, takes away exploits that cost people games and pushes it back onto the skill. Hmm. And that's, you know, what every game strives to have in a head-to-head online environment is making the game so that, you know, if there, you take away the exploits that are non, you know, sport related and make it about skill, you know, people aren't going to be able to exploit your third baseman missing the tag and things like that anymore. It was handily convenient when you were trying to grind things versus the CPU.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, when it happens to you in a head-to-head game, you just shake your head and you're like, well, there's nothing you could do. But luckily, Sony has done the job for us.
And again, this is stuff that if you're playing offline, you might not have noticed because the CPU would not have just kept running. The CPU would have just slid into the bag.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Exactly.
What do we got here next? This is a ground ball to the third baseman with a runner on second going to third. Now, if he tries to make last year when he would attempt to make the tag, if he made it or he missed it, he would like go back to a set position, set himself up, and then try to throw. And because of the way the animation has worked, that was always super slow. And even with a slow runner, you'd almost never get them thrown out at first base. But now the way they've done all the branching animations and now all the new tags and new throws and stuff, that's not going to happen anymore. So even if he makes the tag or he whiffs on the tag, he's still going to be able to have the wherewithal to get the ball out and throw it over to first base to get the out.
That was probably the slickest thing I saw in the stream was the comparison from 17 to 18 of that third baseman making that play. You know, again, a very subtle, you know, improvement to some, but it just adds to the fluidity of the game and you know, we've all had that situation where you have that chopper to third base and, you know, the guy's running and then, you know, a guy with not even good speed, like a guy with average speed beats that out to first. Hopefully, given what they've shown here, that's going to be a thing of the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Two of the things they really stressed in the stream were urgency and efficiency. So now the fielders are much more efficient in their movements And they know the speed of the base runners, and they know if they have to hurry up and get the ball out of their glove or, you know, do something crazy to make a play. Yep. Again, that could hurt you if it's a really, really fast runner and your guys are going to try to do something crazy to make a play. But it's going to help you more times than not, because you're going to be able to get plays that you weren't getting last year.
Yep, exactly.
What else we got on that? Yeah, they hundreds of new tag animations. Pickles should be better. Again, as I talked about earlier, they have there were times where they were trying to do standing tags rather than running tag animations. So they've redone all the branching in that and done a whole lot more animations there with tagging with the ball in the bare hand, tagging with the ball in the glove. So Pickles should also be a lot better this year. The next thing they talk about was catcher efficiency, specifically with blocking pickups and branching throws. The catcher used to, when there was a ball in the dirt, last year you could literally see like where the animations ended, where they would drop down to the block animation, then you'd see them stand up, then they would go to the ball, then you'd see them pick up the ball, and then go into their throw animation. And if you ever saw that, which you probably saw a lot because there was a lot of balls in the dirt, it was extremely choppy, and it was an exploit easily taken advantage of online. Literally a ball in the dirt with pretty much anybody running on first base. You could take a bag, and it wasn't even that big of a deal. It was pretty simple. So they said they've added hundreds of new animations to blocking transitions, pickups and throws, to make that animation process seamless, including stuff from the knees. So if there's like runner going from second to third, and there's a ball in the dirt and it drops right in front of the catcher, he will just pick it up with his bare hand and throw it down to third base.
Yeah.
That's great, especially since we got Benito Santiago in the game. More stuff from the knees is extremely welcome.
Yes. Agreed.
And again, they also, as I said, urgency. The catchers know the urgency of the runners. So there's a pass ball and like a drop third strike. If it's somebody fast, they're going to hustle to get over there, pop up out of their stance, make the play. And if it's someone a little slower, they know that they can take their time and make the play and still throw the runner out. And all this blocking stuff, this is all for pass balls. But also because of that, the little like swinging bunts and the little bunts like right out in front of the batter's box, like right in that dirt area. Mm-hmm. Catcher's going to pop up a lot faster, get out to more balls, pick them up, spin, throw out guys at first a lot better. Again, last year, swinging bunts, I feel like all the time a swinging bunt was going to end up being a single just because nobody knew what they were doing.
Yeah, you had that worry literally every time it happened.
Another thing with the catchers covering home plate, this tagging is going to be better, just like the other bases. So they're going to tag the runner's hands and arms and legs when they're coming in, not just kind of doing like general swipe tags in the vicinity. And one of the things that cost me multiple games last year, I would guess, if you've had guys dive headfirst into home plate, you will know that they always went like their left arm would come out straight. And then as they got towards the plate, they would pull it back and kind of do like a little Tyrannosaurus thing and then get tagged when if they'd have just kept their arm straight, they would have touched the base and they'd have been safe. That's been fixed. Their left arm will stay straight and they're going to get in there. Hopefully all those games you lost, you can now win because you'll have a proper slide this year.
Yep. Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, that got frustrating sometimes.
That for me was probably one of the, like, in every game, there's nothing I hate more than losing a game outside of my control. And again, you know, it just makes you not want to play the game. And when you lose a game because of a bad animation or a bad transition or a bad whatever, it makes you not want to play the game anymore. It's frustrating. So, like, again, hopefully this will, you know, not lead to any other sort of exploits in other aspects of the game. But again, all of these things, like I've said, I feel like are going to improve the overall quality of every game you play. And that is not an easy task when you're considering that this game, you know, has been around for the number of years that it's been around for. And to make these what seem on the surface like small changes to fundamentally just make the games play better is huge.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be one of those things where now if you like go to someone's house and the game just starts auto-playing, you're going to fool more people thinking that this is real, because I feel like all the animations that they showed looked 100% more realistic than they were last year or the last 2 years. So I'm very excited for all this stuff so far.
Yep, me too.
Next up is pitcher fielding efficiency and covering home, pickups, and more urgency. Again, efficiency and urgency, those seem to be the key words when it comes to gameplay this year. Pitcher-specific animations for dribblers out in front of the plate. Again, they're much more urgent. And there's going to be new setups based on setups for pass balls with the catcher tossing back to the pitcher covering. So they've got all new tag animations and stuff. Here's one you can kind of see. This is, I believe it's Dallas McKeichel slapping a tag down on a runner coming in. So they've redone pretty, I think they said they redid all the catches that pitchers do at home plate and slapping the tags down. And now they can catch it at 3 points. They can either catch it early, like as they're running towards the plate, middle, like right when they're getting near the plate, or when they are set up at the plate waiting for the runner to come in and the ball to come to them.
Yeah, that's big. Again, not something that you see a lot in the run of a game, but given the issues that the game had with catchers blocking pitches and the catcher animations, the fact that the pitcher animations were kind of one-dimensional really created a lot of problems. Again, this was something that when they showed the clip of it, this one specifically that you have on the screen, when I watched this clip, when they showed it the first time, I didn't actually think he tagged him.
Yeah, he did kind of look like he missed and he got his hand up and over.
But when they showed the replay, it looked like he just kind of like stab tagged him, like on the hand, like it was an odd angle, but like, I think that it definitely caused me a bit of pause because like just quick watching it through, it didn't look like he tagged him. But on the replay, when they kind of slowed it down a bit, it looked like he might have got him. But either way, the fact that they've overhauled that aspect of it is really cool.
And that's a real bang-bang play that even in real life is going to be hard to see what the outcome was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like that's huge, because if you fix just the catchers and then not this, you would still have the problem of the pitcher standing there and not knowing. I think I've had times where the pitcher slid in, or the runner slid in, and the pitcher would just have the ball and not try to make the tag last year. So
yeah,
that's a lot better.
Yes.
Last year, there was a lot of problems with left-handed starting pitchers. If there was a little dribbler out up the third baseline, they would just lollygag their way over there, lollygag the pickup, and then just lollygag the throw over there and not get guys out, even not the fleetest of foot guys. So it looks like that's all been taken care of. They said a lot of things like those are all fixed. I wouldn't guess it's all fixed, but it seems like a lot of them are fixed. So yeah. Hopefully we don't see this too much. They said they really worked on shoring up this area, 10, 15 feet out in front of the plate. Where the catcher and the pitcher are going to have to be fighting over balls there and making quick pickups and throws to first base. So that looks really exciting. Also, they said, again, efficiency, urgency. So like on a play like this, with a little dribbler out to the mound, if you're playing online and there's a guy on second base, most people are going to send him home.
Yep.
Because they know once it's going to take a long time to get the ball to first base. First baseman's going to make the catch. He's going to stop. He's going to start getting into his throwing motion. Yeah. And then it's going to take a while to get home. This year, first basemen are going to be much faster at getting that transition in, receiving the throw, throwing to the next base. Actually, I had a lot of luck last year, with Freddie Freeman when guys were trying to go first to third.
Yep.
I don't know why he was good. I don't know if it was something with his reaction ratings, or just his arm strength and accuracy, but I was able to throw a lot of the guys out at third base with him. He seemed like, it seemed like not all first basemen could do that, but he was one of them. That's why I wonder if it's tied to like his accuracy or something.
Yeah. I am thankful that they addressed what I call the Jake Taylor play, you know, which is the, you know, Willie. Yeah, I mean, you didn't need to have Willie Mays Hayes at second base to score on a dribbler to the pitcher. So I'm glad that they addressed that. Maybe this is a question for later, but the one concern I have about all this is, every game you play going to be 1-0?
Well, I mean, we'll talk about the hitting engine soon.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. This something to ponder as we go through the stream. You know, what does this mean for the overall score of a game?
Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is the stuff that these were last year. These were leading to runs that shouldn't have happened to start with.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. I just, like I said, I just have not necessarily worried, but taking away the stuff that people actually use to score runs, I get the feeling like, you know, you're going to need to have a stacked pitching rotation because every game's going to be 1-0.
But then also remember they're making pitching harder next year.
Yeah, so that's true.
Tougher to be more accurate. So
that's true.
I think it's going to be a give and take a little bit in everything.
I hope so.
Again, more moving pickups instead of just set up, getting set up and then picking the ball up and making the throw. So that should be good. Smoother, realistic, fewer exploits is what they were targeting last year. And granted, these are the videos they chose to show us. That seems to be the case. We'll see it more when we actually get it in our hands to play with.
Yeah.
Next up, hitting engine upgrades. I talked about a bunch of stuff here. The cool thing to start it off was they were showing off how PCI kind of works. So this is using, if you're using zone hitting and I guess the standard PCI, which is the round one or the ovicular one. So if you hit it right in the middle, it's going to be a line drive, medium fly, high fly and pop up as you go up, hard grounder, easy grounder and chopper as you go down. Again, the dotted lines are because, you know, if you hit a ball between line drive and hard grounder, it could be either. It's not necessarily going to be one or the other when you get into those spots. So I thought this was nice. I feel like this is kind of something we knew, but they never really came out and explicitly said.
Yeah.
So I was happy about that. And then they broke it down even further going, if you're using weak, average, or power hitters. So weak hitters are going to be, they're not going to have a ton of, obviously, they're not going to have a ton of power, but they're going to be more effective with, if you're able to get the PCI right on it, or even if you're just a little bit high and you hit hit a little bit more topspin, those are probably going to be their most hard hit balls. And then they'll have like a little bit of contact for easy grounders low and a little bit of contact for medium flies, and then high flies are going to be a problem. So, and then for average guys, you know, if you hit it right in the middle, it's good. If you go up, if you're off a little bit up and down, still okay. But then as you get further away, it's bad, which I guess we all kind of knew. And then for power, if you hit it in the middle, or if you even hit under it a little bit, you're still gonna have very good hits. Obviously a lot of power. If you're a little bit under it, you're gonna get that backspin. Ball's gonna fly. If you got the power, it's gonna get out of the park. And power hitters are still good at, if you miss a little bit more under the ball, or if you're just on top of them, easy grounders low. But yeah, if you're a power hitter and you're getting under the pitch a little bit, you're going to have more of an opportunity to miss and still do a lot of damage.
I was a huge fan of this little part of the stream because if you remember the hitting stream that they did last year to try and address a lot of the concerns that the community had, a lot of people took it the wrong way and felt like it came off as condescending because they felt like it was them trying to explain how to hit a baseball.
Mm.
This is how the game interprets how to hit a baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did see, you know, some negative feedback and whatever saying that, you know, oh, they're talking down to us like we don't understand how hitting works. I said that's not what they're trying to convey.
Right. They're trying to explain how the hitting engine works.
Yes. How they're trying to explain how their PCI and the placement of the ball in reference to the PCI based on the attributes of the player results in the type of hit that you get. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, I don't think for me, it wasn't a huge
yeah
surprise. Like I didn't, you know, be like, oh, that's how the PCI works.
Yeah. This all seemed pretty logical to me. I was actually surprised that the weak players are actually are okay at hitting balls, like topping balls, and you're still going to get good contact on them. But
yeah,
my question is, now that they've showed this, is every online game going to be weak hitters are going to be pitched up in the zone and power hitters are going to be pitched down in the zone? That's my wonder.
I mean, is that not already how the game is, though, to be fair?
I feel like a lot of people are still pitching power hitters high. They'll try to sneak fastballs by him. But now they will know, you know, if he hits it, even if you're under it a little bit, as long as your timing's good, you're still probably going to crush one.
Yeah. You know, like for me, and maybe I'm in the minority, but I don't typically consider the batter when I'm pitching. I pitch to my pitcher's strengths. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, like, for example, I'm just thinking of them off the top of my head, but if I'm using, you know, Marcus Stroman, everything is going to be down. It's going to be two seamers down, sinkers down, sliders down. Like again, I know there are people who, you know, they just go out there with a guy who throws 98 and they throw fastballs at the letters all day long. But like, I think people need to get away from the, like, how do I pitch to this batter and just think of how does my pitcher handle this situation? But yeah, I do feel like some people are going to look at these graphics and be like, okay, weak guys up, power guys down, and let's go.
Yeah, I think that's just a good way to start, basically, no matter what. Like, if you're hitting that bottom of the lineup and they're not good, pitch them up. Worst thing they're going to do is, unless they're getting on top of one, I mean, they're not going to be doing a lot of damage to you.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I feel like if you leave one up to, I feel like this is just common knowledge. If you leave a fastball up to a powerful hitter, they're going to hit the poop out of it, right?
Yeah.
So now they just broke it down a little more.
Yep.
You have to see that. Now they actually kind of help you remember that a little bit, specifically when you're hitting. But actually, yeah. So I don't know if you have. Do you play a lot of Home Run Derby? Or have you played a lot of Home Run Derby? I know we played a couple times last year, but
yeah, I mess around with it. Sometimes I'll if I'm gonna do like a season's run or something, I might do a couple derbies just to warm up, just to get my eyes in the game and see a few pitches.
Yeah, so like if I had a really powerful guy, I would always aim the PCI just like a shade under where it was gonna be.
Yeah.
You know, to try to get a little more lift and elevation. And
yeah,
I feel like that kind of proved out to be a good idea.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
So the next thing is, now they've added a dynamic PCI, which I'm going to say you can't really see in this. But so if you have a low power hitter, when you see the PCI come up, the bottom half of the circle is going to be lit up a little brighter. So you will know that they're low power. And obviously, that again, balls up in the zone are going to be a problem for him. For average power guys, the whole ring is going to be lit up because you want to hit it in the center. Where am I? And then for the high power guys, just the top border is going to be lit up. So that should help you a little bit if you're not really sure who's up. If you're like, is this guy a power guy? Is this guy a little bit of a power guy? So you can see that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know how they could have avoided the whole PCI discussion? I know you know where I'm going with this.
A beautiful wedge that works.
Because you got me on this train now for the last 18 months. Just go to the Pro Yaku Spirits PCI of just a bat.
I love it.
Like, that's the thing. That's the thing that people need to realize is that, you know, the center of the PCI is not like the optimal place where you're hitting the baseball. It's the middle of your bat. And like I was kind of hoping that maybe they would have done Like, I like the dynamic PCI. I think it's going to be a nice little visual cue. Although, I mean, if you're
a if you don't know your team.
Yeah, if you're a regular player of the game and you don't, like, you have Cody Bellinger on your team, oh, I don't know if Cody Bellinger has any pop in his bat. Let me look at the PCI. You know, but it's just, you know, it's, I would have liked to see that big explanation of how the PCI works turn into, like, and here's a cool new PCI to go with it. Not hey, we're going to shade different parts of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like that. I would just like them to show off the wedge more, because I feel like the wedge gives you more of a realistic look.
Yeah.
But hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So they showed a bunch of swings with pitches directly down the middle. And so if a pitch is going to be right down the middle, your good swing timing is going to lead to a ball essentially gap to gap. And then early and late are going to be more to the left and right fielders and to the line. And then your very early, very late. I'm sorry. Gap to gap is good. Just early, just late is going to go from like the outfielder to the lines. And then early and late are going to be foul balls.
Yeah.
Depending on, you know, other conditions like wind, the stadium, stuff like that.
Yep.
But again, I feel like that's stuff, all kind of stuff that we knew. Yeah. So like if the pitch is going to be inside, again, a good swing is going to pull the ball because you want to be out in front of it. So that V, like if you think of it like a V out to the field, can't really, wish I had a thing to show. So if the pitch is down the middle, the V is just facing straight out. But if the pitch is inside, you know, the V is going to tilt a little bit. So yeah, a good swing might be more to the center fielder than left center, and more the pull part of it. Well, if you're using the lefty, the pull part of it is going to be more to the right fielder and just left of the center fielder, not like the left center field gap.
Yeah.
And again, if it's going to be an outside pitch to a lefty hitter, the better timing is going to be to hit it the opposite field.
Yep.
But again, maybe it's just a thing because we've played a lot of baseball in real life and not just specifically video games, that made sense even when they were showing it last year. Because essentially last year they were explaining how real baseball hitting works. But yeah, I hope now that with the new swing analysis, I have a shot of the swing analysis. I don't know if you can really see it. Let me pull it up here. I didn't move it. Here's the swing analysis. You can see it a little better in the center of the screen. So now not only are you going to have the traditional feedback that we've had in the past, but now you're going to have a animated image of the swing. And also you're going to see like green, yellow, and red for your timing part of it.
Yeah.
Is it time? It's for the swing timing, right?
Yeah.
The contact is still going to be the reticle and stuff, and then this is for the timing. So you'll see, even if you are on the early side of good, you will see if you're just off or if you're just late. So that should be able to help you out a lot to get more locked in on your swing timing. Again, still, if you want to get hits and you use zone, you have to get your PCI on the ball. And with power hitters, you can be a little bit under, and you're still going to hit for good power. But
And I agree that veterans of the game know all this. The problem that Sony San Diego has is not everybody agrees with it.
Mm.
There is a portion of the community that would like this game to be, if you square up a ball, it is a straight dead center field home run. And this is, and you know, we all had this battle and discussions and tweets and everything about it last year when the hitting was such a hot subject. You know, they have built this game to have a realistic, real life representation of hitting a baseball.
Hmm.
Some people who play this game more competitively disagree with the way that they do it. And I fully understand their position that they would like the game to be slightly more slanted towards esports, where the outcome of where a baseball goes is less random and more put on, you know, the skill of the user. So I think this is them reinforcing, saying, okay, guys, we've built an IRL representation of hitting. And that's the way it's going to be. And I love it. I think it's great. I think, you know, it's not really news to anybody. I think it's just reinforcing, saying, you know what, listen, we've built this engine where there is a certain percentage of unpredictability that with a pitch down the middle, it could go here, it could go here, it could go here. You know, it's, you're not going to get the same swing with the same result every time.
Yeah. What else we got here? Three analysis. Then they went and they talked about a little bit about physics and stuff. So it looks like they've fixed up. What were they saying? I think it was like they were talking about like air density was a little off. So balls weren't flying as far as they should have been last year. And they fixed the, again, they fixed the exit velocity off opposite field hits. So you shouldn't have that crazy opposite field power still this year. And they also, they showed a little video where they brought, where Aaron Judge came in. And they were showing how if you took a real life exit velocity with launch angle and the same, a realistic version of the pitch, the result you would get in the game would be the same result that you would get in real life. And I think they showed one of his home runs to left center field and they put the same information into the game and it was like a few feet off of where it was in real life. So.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Yep.
And then last but not least, they have added a new legend. And every stream that they do, every one of these seven streams, they're going to add a new legend. I believe they said they were all going to be never before seen in.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll be the show.
Tips said they are going to be brand new to the series every stream.
So I will allow you to announce your hero slash kind of heartbreaker because he's going with that Angels jersey. But
that's not. I mean, you know, I can let that slide. I am very, very happy that Vladimir Guerrero is going to be not only a Hall of Famer but will also be in MLB The Show. I assume he's going to be like a later in the season kind of guy.
Yeah, I think like to get like his beast card, it'll probably be later in the
season. Like I think to get like that, what was that MVP season that he had with the Angels?
2004, where he had 206 hits, a 337 average, 391 on base, 565 slugging? No, 598 slugging percentage. He was a real good, 39 home runs, 126 RBI, kind of beastly.
Yeah, you ain't getting that card anytime soon. And it ain't going to be cheap. But I'm glad to see Vlad in the game. I really like to see when they add these kind of players that, like, if you take that, you know, like any of Vlad's prime seasons and you give them a card, he's kind of unlike any other player, you know, because of that, you know, the power and the swinging at everything and the arm and you know, like the five tool kind of player. Like I really like, again, you know, somebody mentioned, I think it was on the stream, they mentioned about Benito Santiago and his rookie card when he had like 20 bombs and 20 stolen bases and he hit like three something. Mm-hmm. Like as a catcher, like that's not a card that you could really find in the game. So like Vlad is one of those guys that he's going to be super, super desirable because there's not really another guy like Vlad who actually, you can have on your team.
Vlad's 2002 season, he almost went 40-40.
Mm-hmm.
He went 39 home runs, 40 stolen bases. Did lead the league with 20 caught stealing.
Yeah.
But it was 336 average, 417 on base, and 593 slugging. So he's nasty. Yeah.
It's going to be an animal card, like for sure.
What if I told you could get that 2004 Vlad at the start of the season, but it was going to cost you?
I would pay whatever it took.
But what if I said you're never going to be able to get him? I could see I mean, this card, that card's probably going to be like a 99, right?
That's going to be up. I say 97 for sure.
I do wonder how this will work. What if, because, I mean, there's the possibility that he is the Angels team collection.
Yeah, I mean.
Which sticks him, because that's where the, who was it? Andre Dawson. Is that the one that was the Nats one last year? He could be stuck there, and you're going to have to get Trout to get him.
True.
That would be tough.
I mean, if they go with the system from last year, he probably wouldn't even be the Angels collection. He'd probably be the Angels team epic, which would require you to do the collection and then do...
And then do more, yeah.
Yeah, like...
Possible.
Yeah.
I could see it. I could see that being a thing, though I think he's going to have multiple good cards. Obviously, he'll have the hardware for the 2004.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of MVP seasons. His rookie card won't be bad.
No.
In 90,
he's going to have a handful of cards, probably.
Yeah, I can see him getting, you know, at least four.
Yeah,
you know, three or four.
Give him an impact veteran card in there somewhere for one of his, twilight seasons.
At age 35, he became an all-star with the Rangers.
Yep.
So hit 329 home runs.
Yep. Get like a mid-80s impact veteran, Vlad.
Actually, that's probably going to be like, that'd be like a medium to high gold.
There you go.
Yeah, Vladimir Guerrero. That's cool. He was on the cover of, what was it? MLB 2003?
Or was it? He wasn't on a High Heat cover, was he?
He was also on High Heat, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think it was on High Heat 2002.
Oh, maybe MLB 06. What year was it? It was whatever it was still, because it was still called MLB. It wasn't the show yet.
Yeah, it was one of the old 989 games, right?
Yeah. Because I had it on PSP. And he was the cover athlete for it. 01. Darts in the chat says it's 01. I don't know if I believe him. Do you believe him?
I believe everything Dart says.
All right. We're going to say it's 01. Was it PSP out in 01?
I don't even know, man.
Come on, man. You didn't have a PSP up there in Canada?
No.
They didn't let you have those?
I had a Vita for like 3 months.
It must have been 04.
I wasn't into the... I had no use for a mobile scene. Not like today where mobile is my life.
All right.
Oh, now Darts is pushing. He's saying maybe.
Yeah, this is MLB 2005. It was the PSP game.
After his monster MVP season.
MLB 2006, 99 Sports. But they had the show in 06, right? Oh, this was MLB 2000... What? I don't know.
Either way,
back when baseball games had weird numbering systems.
Yeah, he was on the cover of a game.
Yeah. You know why? Here's why it's weird. In March 8th of 2005, the game released MLB 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's why it's all backwards. So they had MLB 2006 and then MLB The Show 06 was the game next year.
I was playing 2K back in those days anyway. Actually, I was playing the 2006, like the 06 series. I would have been playing NCAA
baseball. NCAA baseball, yeah.
MVP NCAA baseball, baby.
That was the play, obviously.
That game was lit.
Mm-hmm. You want to hop into... Let's just talk about the schedule coming up. This Monday, there will be a GameStop Monday. Then on Thursday, the 15th, 2 p.m. Eastern, on twitch.tv/SonySanDiegoStudio. Right? Studio, no S.
Yeah.
Nothing's what it is. Something, something, something. And the little things deep dive. So we'll reconvene. I think Friday's better than trying to reconvene right after their stream. Let us breathe it in a little bit.
Yeah.
For a new bullpen banter. Look for that. Look for us to go live next week on the 16th to discuss what's there. As always, you can follow us on Twitter @ThatSportsGamer @SnaggleJ. 2002 was his High Heat cover.
Yes. Is there anything on this schedule that you're particularly intrigued about?
Obviously Diamond Dynasty, but That's just me now. I do kind of want to see what they've done to Road to the Show. It sounds like there's a lot of changes.
Yeah.
With this player progression overhaul, people on a bus for some reason, and then people confused about if it's a bus or a plane. Have you ever seen a bus with windows like that? I don't think so. I am concerned.
Tips did say it was a bus.
Yeah, they confirmed it was a bus because
Tips confirmed it was a bus.
It was obviously a bus. Yeah. So
yeah, obviously, yeah.
The one thing I am concerned about is that they do not have something for online franchise.
Yeah, that's
granted.
That's
they wouldn't have a stream for online franchise. But I'm more worried that they don't even mention it in the franchise stuff.
No, unless those six asterisks is for online.
Online is five letters, and
online is six letters.
Sure, why not? Maybe it is.
O N L I N E.
I don't think that's what it is because
no, I don't think that's what it is either. I definitely don't think that's what it is.
Yeah, in the GameStop. I believe it was the GameStop video that Ramon did with them. He mentioned something called phases.
Yeah.
For online franchise, for franchise mode. So,
yeah.
That's probably what that is.
My biggest concerns are that franchise mode is not really going to get much other than a few things here and there.
Trade deadline prep, bro. Come on.
I did say, and I am on record many, many times saying, that I would like to see them try to add more personality into managing your team and franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like trade deadline prep, like September call-ups and that. But like it's a lot of people in the franchise community are going to be upset because they want a big overhaul and relocation and this and that and this and that.
Create a stadium.
And it's not going to happen. I don't... like it's definitely not going to happen this year. I don't think it's ever going to happen. And you know, it's one of those things. You know, all speculate. I guess we can wait till March 15th and find out.
Hmm.
You know, it's one of those things. I am excited about the Road to the Show stuff because I did feel like, and I think a lot of people felt like it got stale. You know, the RPG elements they added last year were great you know, the first time you played through them and then the first couple of minutes. And then after that, they were kind of over and they just went back to being regular old Road to the Show again.
Hey, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they say they were going to add more stuff throughout the year to that? And they never did.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. No,
I believe you're correct there.
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. One thing that I am interested in is I don't know if it'll be in the Little Things deep dive or maybe Diamond Dynasty, how they're going to handle two-way players like Babe Ruth and Shohei Ohtani when he becomes eligible to be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to interest me because I don't know what you do with Babe Ruth in Diamond Dynasty if he has the ability to pitch and hit. Like, do you put him in as an outfielder and then you can never use him as a starting pitcher? So you're going to be kind of screwed when you bring him in.
Yeah.
Or do you make him a starting pitcher and then the four out of five times you don't get him, he's just on your bench when he should be starting for you? I hope they kind of go over some of that stuff and how that's going to work. I feel like that would be important. But that's the main stuff. I want to see who this new guy is in the booth, especially if the asterisks turn out and it is Jim Tomei. Because I would assume that would mean he's also going to be in the game in Diamond Dynasty. So that would be cool.
Although, did we ever get a hot fire Dan Plesac card?
We didn't, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like there could have been one, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't there like a couple? I mean,
we got a couple Hojo cards. Or Harold Reynolds, not Howard Johnson. I mean, why I get Howard Johnson and Harold Reynolds.
I'll take a Howard Johnson card. Look, did you know that in 1988, Dan Plesac was actually 22nd in the MVP voting? Just saying.
To hang his hat on.
I don't know how he did that. 30 saves? Sure.
More impressive, that 22nd MVP voting finish or Dan Plesac's shoe game?
Shoe game is pretty strong.
His shoe game is pretty top notch.
We actually did see him when Rich and I went to MLB Network last year to talk about out of the park baseball.
Nice.
Speaking of out of the park baseball,
it's coming soon.
It's coming soon. You can go to otpdevelopments.com. Pre-order that now. Save 10% with promo code TSG19. All of the promo codes are completely inferior to TSG19.
I agree 100%. We'll see when we're done.
We'll get reports
most,
for it.
With the most, anyway, that's neither here nor there. Go buy the game.
Definitely go buy the game. Save 10%. Or save, it's like 18.7% because you get 10% off for the pre-order plus another 10% for this.
Just saying. And you can play it 4 days before MLB The Show. So, like, I mean, why not, right?
Or you can wait till it comes out and you can play it the day before MLB The Show. I saw Spore talking about that today, where he's going to have to get a lot of work done that week, early in the week before Out of the Park and MLB launch.
It's unacceptable.
What else we got? We got the Bullpen Banter Discord. At thatsportsgamer.com/BB Discord. I think we got like 120 people in there now.
Get in there.
MLB The Show all the time. What else? Twitter's at thatsportsgamer, at SnaggleJ. You can find the show here on twitch.tv/thatsportsgamer when we go live with it. Archives over at youtube.com/thatsportsgamer. If you want to listen to the audio version, you can just search your favorite podcast app of choice. Search for Bullpen Banter, and you'll find it. Or you can go to thatsportsgamer.com/bullpenbanter. That'll give you all the subscription links, and it'll show you the playlist with all the videos, including the video that should be there, which will be the latest episode. Snaggle J, you got anything else?
Nope. You covered it pretty good.
So I'm trying to be good at this stuff, and
you're doing a fantastic job.
Knock it all out of the park.
Cross promotion. I see what I did there.
Yeah, that's gonna do it for tonight. We did have one question in the chat, if I did not mistaken. It says, what's this guy gotta do to get Alan Trammell and Lou Whitaker in the game? I mean,
never. Don't even bother.
We're gonna have to see if they have a veterans committee that would maybe get these guys in.
Yeah,
because I don't think they're going in the traditional way. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't hate him.
I wouldn't mind a Whitaker. Trammell's just white noise at shortstop.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I did want to mention. They showed some throws from shortstop.
Yeah.
Again, urgency and efficiency. Hopefully, the thing that was happening 2 years ago, where if you had a bad shortstop, you were kind of screwed. If they didn't have an arm. Hopefully that's fixed now, because it looks like they're going to be getting to balls and picking them up better and making those throws to first. So you might be able to get away with someone with a little bit lower rated fielding and arm strength this year.
Agreed.
Which is good, because I was kind of getting really, really tired of having Buddy Bell play shortstop for literally a year.
Yep.
So, I think we're good here. Chris, thank you for joining me. Always appreciate it.
Anytime. I'm glad to be back for, what is it, season three now?
Season three. This is episode 70.
We are old.
We're getting old. We're getting real old.
It's not good.
So what do we say? They have GameStop Monday to look out for next week. Thursday is going to be the stream over at twitch.tv/Sony San Diego Studio. And then I think Friday we'll be back with another episode of Bullpen Banter. And that would mean now is a good time for you to get out of the bullpen and get into the game. Take it easy, folks. We'll see you again next week right here on twitch.tv/thatsportsgamer.